Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Which verse is it? I can read everything except the Sanskrit part, you know. Prabhupada always had a pundit. He always had someone reading the slokas, Prajumna or somebody. Yeah.
Reading from the fifth canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, chapter 20, entitled The Structure of the Universe, text number 44. Mrite anda esha etasmin yad abhut tato martanda iti vyapadeshaha hiranya garbha iti yad dhiran dhiranyanda samudbhavaha.
The sun god is also known as Viraja, the total material body for all living entities. Because he entered this dull egg of the universe at the time of creation, he is also called Martanda. He is also known as Hiranyagarbha, because he received his material body from Hiranyagarbha, Lord Brahma. Purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. The post of Lord Brahma is meant for very highly elevated, spiritually advanced living beings. When such living beings are unavailable, Lord Vishnu, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, expands himself as Lord Brahma. This takes place very rarely. Consequently, there are two kinds of Brahma. Sometimes Brahma is an ordinary living entity, and at other times, Brahma is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The Brahma spoken of here is an ordinary living being. Whether Brahma is the Supreme Personality of Godhead or an ordinary living being, he is known as Viraja Brahma and Hiranyagarbha Brahma. Therefore, the sun god is also accepted as Viraja Brahma. Om Agyana Timirandasya Ganangana Shalakaya Chaksura Militanyena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. We're on the radio at the hospital, or who knows who's hearing. So, many, many people are attending the class that we can't see. Others are here in subtle forms, and some want to come, but they couldn't make it. But Srimad Bhagavatam is all auspicious for everyone. It is transcendental like the sun. It is the Purana that is like the sun, dissipating the darkness of Kali Yuga. Krishna left the earth and taking religious principles and everything with him, but the Srimad Bhagavatam appeared to cover for that. So we are trying our best to distribute Srimad Bhagavatam everywhere as much as possible. Srila Prabhupada said in every respectable home there should be a full set of Srimad Bhagavatam, entire 12 cantos. Everything is here. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta said if all the books in the world were burned, but only Srimad Bhagavatam remained, there would be no problem. Be much better probably, because there's so many books now. India, people like to read a lot. There's so many bookstores, right? Full of books, all full of speculations about anything and everything. All over the world, they had these big bookstores full of so many things. Some are all right. I saw in the airport in Calcutta many, at least vegetarian cooking books. That's all right. Much more than you would have seen a few years ago. But the devotees have enlivened everyone to the value of, you know, proper lifestyle. So these things are inconceivable. Krishna is inconceivable. Achintya or nischintya. You cannot, you know, make up the idea of Krishna in the mind. With all the speculative science and all the speculative science fiction and all the speculative everything, no one has ever come up with something like Krishna. Right? all the novels, all the science fiction. There's so many science fiction, very, very creative speculators about everything. But they never come up with something like Krishna, or even like Lord Brahma, or even the demigods. They just come up with demons, rakshasas. And not even, you know, like the real rakshasas, not so powerful. Nothing like Ravana or something. So the sun god is ultimately means, Savitu means Krishna, Narayan, Surya Narayan. When we chant the Gayatri Mantra for the sun god, Om Bhurbhuvaha, that's for Krishna. The Surya Narayan. Krishna is behind everything. And Brahma is, of course, created out of the lotus flower, which comes out of the navel of the Garbhadakshayi Vishnu. So he's also Aja. He's not born like we are. But he's still, here it says, an ordinary living entity. But there are many varieties of ordinary living entities. Some of us are very weak, very less intelligent, right? Very short life. And then on the other far end of the scale is Brahma, who's, you know, his body is, like our body is made of mostly water. Something like 80% water. Doesn't seem like that, but even the bones, mostly water. And Brahma's mostly made out of intelligence. So he's able to keep a cool head throughout all the different things that are happening in the universe. He's the father of the demons and the devotees. And he treats everyone equally. So, and he lives the whole duration of time of the universe. Sahasra yuga paryantam adahoyad brahmano. Inconceivable numbers. I guess we can calculate the numbers, but we can't really imagine them or relate to such numbers. Trillions and trillions and quadrillions of years. When, you know, we're thinking if we can live 60, 70 years, we're doing pretty good. Kali Yuga. People are living shorter and shorter lives. I don't know, in India, I think the propaganda is in the world that India has very short lifespan, average. But, I mean, very old people in India. On the Vraj Mandala Parikrama one time, one old man came, how old do you think I am? You know, and 96 or something like that, you know, like that. So it's not that everyone in India dies young, like they say in America. And it's not that everyone in America or Japan lives long either. The people that die of natural death may be old, but the people that die of AIDS and car accidents and gunshot wounds and drug overdoses and suicide and all those things, they're not always so old, right? In America, for the teenagers between 13 and 18, the white boys, the most prominent cause of death is suicide. But they don't calculate that when they tell you the lifespan that you can expect. And then the actual biggest cause of death is abortion. They don't put that in the statistics either. And so if you calculated that in, then the average will go way down. But Brahma, he's living, you know, quadrillions of years. His one day is 1,000 times the entire, you know, Mahayuga cycle or something, you know, this. And we can't even deal with 100 years of history. And when I was in the university, I wanted to study ancient history, something really old. I thought there must be somewhere something, you know, reasonable. But they didn't have it. The oldest thing they had was Egypt 5,000 years ago. And they didn't know anything about it. And then you couldn't even study that until you study English history, which is an American history, you know, which is very, very recent. And just stupid people have to study Henry VIII. You know him? Henry VIII was a famous king in England, and always had to study about him. It was so disgusting. He wanted a divorce, and the Catholic Church that dominated at the time, they wouldn't allow a divorce. So he rejected the Catholic Church and started the Church of England and made himself the head of the church and gave permission to have divorce. So we have to study over and over again this stupid guy. But much better than when I finally found Srimad Bhagavatam and, you know, can hear about great personalities, Brahma, Yudhisthira, and all the Pandavas and all the, you know, all the great sages, inconceivable personalities, and hear what they have to say about the universe, Sukadeva Goswami. So this description of the universe is, especially we have to understand this, is inconceivable. But Sukadeva Goswami is saying right in the beginning, understand that Krishna created all of this. Whatever it is, however many yojanas it is to this planet, and how big that planet is, and how long you live on this planet, it's all inconceivable. And, you know, our scientists, nobody can really understand it. And especially the material scientists, they're spending so much money. But I saw one magazine, and it was one of these Discover or something, science magazine, and it said that the universe is so many, 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 many things. And then it was a big black, a big whole cover of the magazine, and it said, but one thing we know for sure. 90% of it, we don't know anything. Great. So therefore, pay your taxes, build bigger telescopes, you know, send more so-called excursions to the different planets and the moon, right? They're still saying that they went to the moon. When they first came back from the moon, they had this moon dust or moon rocks or something. And they took them all over America in a truck. And they would park them in the different cities, and everybody would circumambulate them. And then they said that these rocks are exactly like the rocks on Earth. They actually say at NASA, I saw the sign, it said, we only investigated 10% of the rocks because they're the same. Now, how do they know the last one won't be different? And how does that prove they went to the moon? If they're exactly the same as Earth, how can they prove that they came from the moon? But that's what they have, is evidence that they went there. Plus a bunch of pictures that don't make any sense. Prabhupada wasn't very impressed. But we can go to other planets by leaving this body behind. But we don't want to go to any planet in the material universe. Right? The Bhagavatam also explains the suffering of living in the material universe and living in the material body and taking birth in any kind of species of life. And, you know, there's so much suffering in the womb. But people think it's nice, you know, they want to go back. And now it's very dangerous to be in the womb because many mothers are aborting the babies in the womb. It's not a very safe place. It's uncomfortable in the first place, cramped up, and there's bugs that bite. And if the mother eats some spicy food, then the baby gets burned by it. And I know one of my godbrothers, he wanted to adopt a baby in Hawaii. But only 10% of the babies available were not drug addicted babies. Because the mother was a drug addict, and then the baby's born a drug addict. Very troublesome. Very hard to educate such people. But this is Kali Yuga. So we want to escape from Kali Yuga. We want to get out from this material universe. We also study, but when we study this description of the universe and the description of life in the womb and the description of the material energy and the elements and all these things, we can understand the absolute accuracy of Srimad Bhagavatam. Very accurate. Like the life in the womb, it describes, and Kapila describes, like month by month, the development of the fetus. And then I think it was in the 80s that they were able to put a camera and observe the actual thing. And it's exactly like the Bhagavatam says. So, and many, many, many other things we learn. So then we can also accept the descriptions of the spiritual world and of Krishna and, you know, the nature of the soul. I saw one little book by Bhaktivinoda Thakur in Mayapur, and I just opened it up, and the sentence was amazing sentence. It said, the mind and the soul are constantly at odds with each other. Then the second sentence was, that one I got exactly, but the next one is something like, there's always enmity between the mind and the soul. Why is that? Huh? What is the nature of the soul? The unique nature of the soul that nothing else can experience in it. What is it? Huh? Bliss. The soul is blissful. That's the nature of the soul. And the earth, water, fire, air, ether, mind, intelligence, the false ego, cannot experience bliss. What is the nature of the mind? Everybody knows that, right? You all have a mind. You've experienced? Huh? Misery, yeah. Changing all the time. Flickering and unsteady. There's many, many descriptions, and everyone has experienced. What is the number one disease in this age right now, according to the World Health? Huh? Mental disease, yeah, I guess depression or different varieties of mental disease, anxiety, they've got so many names for it. Any symptom of life that anyone exhibits, they'll say it's some sort of a mental disease. The psychiatrists, you know, they call a fetish. You know what a fetish? It's like some kind of fanatic attachment to something, you know. So they say that whoever wrote these Vedic ideas of cleanliness, you know, Brahminical standards, they also say in the Jewish, you know, kosher, there must have been a madman, a crazy person, had a cleaning fetish. You know, it's crazy. Everything. If a child is a little, you know, busy, they say he's overactive and he needs medicine. If the child doesn't run around, they say he's underactive, he needs medicine. He has to get stimulated. And no matter what anybody does, you know, someone is not madly sexually agitated, then they think, well, there's something wrong with them. They have to take some medicine to get enlivened. So it's a dangerous age, but Lord Chaitanya then came, and especially merciful, giving us the holy name, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram, Hare. And giving a special benediction that in this age of Kali, simply by chanting the Maha Mantra, we can get the, you know, the topmost liberation. Kaler Dosha Nide Rajan. It's an ocean of fault. We don't have to look very far to see all the problems of Kali Yuga. Right? Any newspaper, the front page is full of descriptions of Kali Yuga. Any BBC, CNN, anyone you talk to will tell you how they're so sick, how they're suffering here, they're suffering there, how they have some enemy here, or someone cheated them there. Right? How their wife left them, you know, how this, that. But they don't give the description of the special mercy of Kali Yuga. Hastiyeka Mahad Guna. There's one very great quality, one wonderful quality in Kali Yuga. And that is Kirtanadeva Krishnasya. Simply by this kirtan of Krishna, Mukta Sangha, Parambrajate, then you can get the topmost liberation very easily if we just can keep chanting. I was going to bring my computer because I have one little clip from Prabhupada. Someone was asking about chanting yesterday, but the battery was dead. But I'll just repeat what Prabhupada said. Someone on the morning walk, they said, "Prabhupada, I have trouble controlling my mind when I'm chanting." Prabhupada said, "What?" He said, "I have trouble controlling my mind when I'm chanting." Prabhupada said, "What?" He said, "Prabhupada, I have trouble controlling my mind when I'm chanting." He said, "What is the difficulty? You just chant with the tongue and hear. What do you care for the mind?" That's simple. It's not so easy, the process of bhakti yoga. The Mayavadis and the Gyanis, they'll say it's for stupid people. It's easy, simple. I read one book once when I was in the university. I thought I would read Bhagavad Gita, but I couldn't find one. So I read a book that was called Patanjali, How to Know God or something like that. So it said there that the bhakti is easy, that's for stupid people. I thought, well, I'm going to do the hard way. I'm not stupid. But somehow or other, a few years later, Krishna rescued me from that foolishness. But it's not easy to give up the false ego. It's not easy to, you know, dedicate one's life to service, to a really service attitude of thinking that, you know, Trinadapi, Sanichena, Tadorapi, Seishnuna, Amanina, Manadena, to actually believe that I'm the lowest of everyone and I'm really, my duty is to serve everyone. It's not easy. It's simple, right? Just chant Hare Krishna and serve everyone. But how do you serve them? You have to give, you know, be chanting, give them Krishna. It's very simple, but it's not easy because this false ego is very, very powerful. That's what brings us in this stupid mind, dragging us everywhere. But by the mercy of the devotees, by association with devotees, that's why we have society of devotees. Prabhupada gave us, you know, work cooperatively, work together. Because that then we can develop tolerance and patience. Right? Otherwise, if I go all by myself to the forest, you know, Hare Krishna, I just think, oh, I'm such a great devotee. Just look at me, I'm chanting so nicely. And maybe we have to tolerate a few mosquitoes or something. But to work with the devotees cooperatively, to surrender, you know, take instruction, respect authority, that's all part of the process of giving up the false ego. But we don't want to do that. No, I know better. I know everything. What is this person doing? And Atmavan, you know, the Prabhupada gave us that nice injunction, Atmavan Manyate Jagat. Whatever I'm thinking, that's what everyone is thinking. So the Mahabhagavat devotee, he thinks everyone is a pure devotee, everyone is a devotee, except him. Because he's completely absorbed and he sees everyone serving Krishna, he sees Krishna everywhere. The Kanishta devotee, the very low-class devotee, he thinks, I'm the only one who's really a devotee. The rest of these people are all, they may be acting like devotees, but they're not, they're living in the temple and they're all going on Sankirtan every day and they're worshiping the deities, but, you know, they're not devotees. They're just doing it for the money or the fame. I'm the actual only devotee in my house, and that's why I don't go out, because, you know, I don't want to get contaminated by all these imitation. So he sees whatever I am is what I see. Atmavan manyate jagat. In psychology, they call it projecting or something. You know, you just. So we say, like, when we see someone else, say someone is angry with us, and we should see this as a mirror. You know, Krishna's trying to show me, you know, what I am. This world is such a place, so nothing will ever go perfectly. There'll always be enemies. No matter, even Prabhupada had enemies. You know, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he needed some kind of surgery, but he wouldn't go. He was afraid that in the hospital they would kill him. You know, somebody had offered the policeman 25,000 rupees. Imagine in 1930 how much money that, and we can't imagine, that's a lot of money. Compared now, it's even now, for, maybe for me it seems like a lot, but you know, for some people it's nothing, right? Fill up your gas tank or something in America on your SUV, it can fill up your gas tank for, you know, 10,000-15,000 rupees. The one car that all the big show-offs want to drive in America now, it gets 5 miles to the gallon. And gas is about $3 a gallon. So they're paying like, you know, $5, $3-4 a mile. Imagine that. So everyone will think he's a big man, you know. But that much money. But the policeman said, I wouldn't do that for a... I think they were just saying, we'll kill him, but you don't pay any, you know, ignore it. He said, we would do that normally, but for a saintly person, we wouldn't do that. So they told him. So even the great saintly people, they have, you know, Ramanuja's guru wanted to kill him. Right? When he was young, because he was so knowledgeable and it was embarrassing. So the guru thought, rather than, you know, get more advanced or tolerate or anything, I'll just kill him. This is Kali Yuga. It was even that was Kali Yuga. What to speak of now? But this Maha Mantra, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. This Sankirtan movement, you know, can change everything. Anyone who joins it. And this is how Krishna comes in this age. Krishna Varnam Twish Ah Krishna. Always chanting Krishna Varna. Like these two syllables, Krishna. And the color is different. Lord Chaitanya is golden color most of the time. Sometimes when he was in Vrindavan and he was in intense ecstasy meditating on Krishna, like at Imlitala, he would turn black color. Sometimes Krishna, when he's in intense ecstasy thinking of Radharani, he would turn golden color. But Lord Chaitanya is mostly golden color. So he's different color than Krishna, not blackish. Krishna Varna, Twisha, Krishna, Sango Pangasta, Parshadam. And his weapons, he's not carrying a club and a arrows and a sword and a chakra. And, you know, sometimes Vishnu has so many weapons. His weapon is the associates, particularly Lord Chaitanya we saw in Mayapur. You know, Sri Advaita, Gadadhar, Nityananda, Srivas, and then so many other associates. You can read in Chaitanya Charitamrita just unlimited names of devotees, and those are only the very, very prominent ones. There were so many great devotees, his associates, and he associated nicely, intimately, in friendship with everyone. And Yajna Sankirtana Prayar, the Jagya is Sankirtan, the complete glorification of the holy name. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. And Yajnir Sankirtana Prayer, Yajantihi Sumedasaha. Medasa means brain substance. And Su means good or auspicious, nice. So those who have good brain substance, they'll join the Sankirtan movement, right? Those who are fortunate, they will join by the mercy of the devotees. As much as we, you know, want people to join, as much as we're willing to, you know, bring people in and take care of them. And like this temple, I don't know if you've all seen that movie, The Simple Temple, wonderful movie. Describing the Chaupati and, you know, one night Radha Krishna Prabhu was saying, we don't ask, you know, people for money, we'd rather tell them about Krishna. You know, that's nice. I saw the kitchen today and it's very auspicious, of course, using all this modern technology to feed so many people. Of course, you know, they can do that in Jagannath Puri, but thousands of people are cooking, right? To feed 20,000 people every day. We can't get thousands of people, but by Kali Yuga's mercy, we can have all this technology. Then as we drove away, I saw across the street, Little London, right? Marks and Spencer, Mango, and I don't know what other, you know, high fashion shops, exactly Oxford Street, and McDonald's. McDonald's is the world's biggest mass producer of things that people eat. We don't want to exactly say food, but they have actually, you know, developed this science of mass producing food with, you know, an exact way. Every McDonald's, they have a district inspector that comes and takes the temperature of whatever they're serving and, you know, taste it. In Japan, it was not McDonald's, another chicken one. And the taster came around and it tasted different. So they got all upset. Then they found the cook there. He thought, I know how to cook better. So he made it different. But they don't want that because the people are going, you know, they don't care if it's good or not, but if it's, they know exactly what it's going to be when they go there. They're not going to get any surprises. But now the devotees are using this technology and we can expand it unlimitedly to be serving billions. In America, the signs on that, right, they say billions and billions. Well, nobody can count how much, you know, sinful things that they have done. But now the devotees are doing it. And it's very high quality, better than we cook in our temples. We can learn ghee and, you know, everything very careful. But this is the mercy of Kali Yuga, that these things are there and we can utilize them in Krishna's service. So by the, you know, the computer, we can communicate with so many people. By the video camera. In Prabhupada's time, video cameras existed, you know, huge thing for television. And I remember somebody brought one in L.A. one time. Sometimes you see the video recorded lectures of Prabhupada. He's always, you know, going like this. Because they had such bright lights. They couldn't film like, you know, like this, you know. They had to bring these huge lights and big cables. And so after a couple of days, he said, forget it. You know, it is too much. He didn't even like a flash camera going. You can ask Vishaka. They had to use the Leica cameras that don't click. You know, they shoot silently. Prabhupada, even the camera went, you know, that is distracting. Why are you doing that? If the flash came in his face. But now we can do, nobody knows, you can sit in the back and, you know, film it in the dark, and catch the sound from far away. So we can utilize all these things if we can utilize for Krishna, television, radio, you know, everything in the service of Krishna. Yukta Vairagya, not that we run away from everything. We can utilize these cities where everyone's gathered together, you know, to give them Krishna, to find all the people in one place, misery, and give them books, give them Krishna. So Kali Yuga is special. The sages are happy with it because of special mercy. That simply this chanting. This is a Yuga Dharma. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Then we see that's, you know, pranamami sachi suta goravaram. Lord Chaitanya is a beautiful golden form and he went everywhere, the Sankirtan movement. And he inspired everyone who saw him. And he inspired his followers to write so many books that's explaining everything. And he, you know, preached Srimad Bhagavatam and all his followers preach Srimad Bhagavatam and explain it in so many unlimited ways. And Srila Prabhupada then came along and gave it in English language so it could be translated in every other language. So now all over the world, you know, people are getting this transcendental knowledge. We see so many Bhagavad Gitas back there. I don't know how many. Over 100 languages for Bhagavad Gita. But there's one, the Christians are very into the missionary work. So they have one group that analyzes the world to find out, you know, what language they should translate. So they say there's something like 3,000 languages. Some of them are almost dead, you know, there's only a few people speak them. So they're analyzing, like, can these people, you know. So there's a long ways to go. But the Maha Mantra Kirtan goes beyond all the languages, and anyone can go. I heard a story one time, some devotee went to some country, I don't know, maybe in Eastern Europe, where nobody had ever been before. And he didn't know the language, so he just had the kirtan and prasadam, and so many people were coming. And then a local person came, a devotee, and he spoke something. And the next week, not so many came. So he said, what did you tell them? He said, well, I told them about the regulated principles. You know, no meat eating, no gambling, no, you can't do this, can't do that, no. But when they were just chanting and taking prasadam, everybody was very happy. And then automatically they'll understand. So, you know, we have to be careful. But Bhagavad Gita, of course, can present every Prabhupada's books. When they read the book, they have to be in a little bit submissive mood. And, you know, it's not the same as a face-to-face, you know, where they want to argue. So we're very fortunate to be in this Bombay city at this time. Prabhupada spent a lot of time here, and he wanted many, many temples. Now what do we have? 3 major temples, right, in Bombay. But so many other programs are going on in the homes, in the outside, in the universities. Everybody in the world, every Indian person knows Bombay Hare Krishna. You know, they're impressed. And now we have this Gaur Purnima, most auspicious festival, appearance of Mahaprabhu, Krishna himself coming to give us the topmost nectar, the holy name, Tunde, Tundavali, Vitam, Pritatune, Tundavali, that this the devotee, Rupa Goswami, wrote, when he chant, he doesn't think that one tongue is enough. He should have millions of tongues. Of course, we could manifest 1 million heads like Lord Brahma to chant, or we could just keep making more and more devotees and have bigger and bigger kirtans. That's even I went to one Christian church when in their songbook they had a song, if I had hundreds of tongues, I could glorify God better. So that, you know, pious people, they think of that. We want to do more. We're not satisfied just, you know, the little tiny bit. Somehow do more. So Prabhupada, he just got everybody going. He just, you know, pulled in more and more people and somehow engaged them all in the service of the Lord. He established deities. You see how much the deities are so merciful that so many people can be engaged in serving them on it. Right? How many girls are making flower garlands and somebody's cooking and somebody's dressing and then so many people can see them. And, you know, somebody has to go shopping and, you know, unlimited nectar to serve the deity. Some people just install a murti and they want the murti to serve them. But that's not what Prabhupada taught us. We want to serve Krishna. We want to serve the devotees. We want to serve the guru. Then he said, you know, Krodo, that this Tunde Tundavali Ritimbita Tune Tundavali Labdaye Karna Kroda Kadambini Gitayate Karnar Budebyo Spriham. That also 2 ears are not sufficient to hear the holy name, to hear the glories of Krishna. When you have millions of ears, you can hear better. These are very defective ears, and our eyes are very defective also. We can only see a very small amount of colors and light out of all the available light. We can only hear a very small range of frequencies, right? And then what to speak of how little we can remember. So we need to hear more and more and constantly hear. because we forget almost immediately what we hear. Statistics are what you remember, something like 10% of what we hear and 20% of what you read. And so that's why we want to read every day, hear class every day, chant all the time, you know, always talk about Krishna so that it gets fixed and fill up your brain, you know, fill it up with Krishna. Then Cheto Prangana Sangini, that when it enters, the holy name enters into the chambers of the heart, Cheto Sangini, that the mind becomes stunned. That means the material mind and all its speculation and accepting and rejecting on the basis of sense gratification becomes stunned, and the senses become inert. The external senses are not chasing all over the place like those horses upstairs, right? Those horses are pretty peaceful. They don't have room to make them wild, right? I tell this story a few times. You might have never seen. When I was young in America, most of the television shows were, they called westerns. Everybody's riding a horse, you know. It was like the cowboys, you know, and the early America. And so they were riding always in these stagecoach. It's a nice coach with big wheels, and then four horses are pulling it. And they would go, you know, brum, 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 brum. And then the horses would run and run and run, and then they would stop and change horses and keep going. And you could get across America in a few weeks or something, you know. Even now it takes a week to drive across in a car. You know, so it take a long time in a horse. So then the bad guys would come, or the Indians, and they would shoot the driver. So then the horses would run wild. You know, nobody has got hold of the mind. You know, the mind is the reins, right? The driver drops the reins, and he's, and then inside is a beautiful girl. Ah, and the thing is going faster and faster and heading off the road somewhere. Then the Lone Ranger would come, you know, and he had a faster horse. And then he would jump on top of the other horses. At the last minute, you know, at the edge of the cliff, it would stop. But that's how this is, that example. It comes from the Upanishads, that these horses, the senses are like these horses. And if you don't have control, if the intelligence is not holding on to the mind, then the senses run you wild, and then it's mad. And it gives an example in the Bhagavatam, like if a man has six wives, the one wife says, take me to a restaurant when he comes home. And the other one says, take me to the cinema. The other one says, take me shopping, you know. One says, sex, I want sex right now. And what can he do? He's being pulled and he can't satisfy everyone. But that's how the senses are dragging us all over the place. It's like they put a hook, McDonald's, you know, they throw out and they're reeling people in. They're advertising so much. In America, as the vegetarian people started to become more prominent, there was a lot of talk that, you know, that people were becoming aware that meat comes from animal bodies. So when children hear that, they say, I will never eat meat. You know, the adults say, well, you have to eat. But the children, they said, I don't want to eat meat. So McDonald's found out this was happening. So they made the commercial, they still have it, the hamburger forest. That's how demoniac, these people are so intelligent. So that on the television in the afternoon, 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock, when all only children are watching, is this forest with hamburgers on trees and hamburgers coming out of flowers. And the little girl is picking them off the tree and smiling. So the children are brainwashed that this is just some fruit. Like the Bengalis, you know, they're fishing. And Atmanavedya Maharaj was saying, don't you feel bad, you know, eating? And they said, no, it's just like fruit. It's a Ganga pool. Just like mango off the tree, it's just fruit from the Ganga. This is Kali Yuga. Tamagun is very strong. So we need also to make very strong propaganda, you know, giving prasadam and giving Krishna and preaching everywhere we get the opportunity, you know, finding ways and ways and living a pure life. Otherwise people come and when they see, like here, they come and see all these, you know, strict brahmacharis and in a nice atmosphere, then people get very enlivened that they want to be Krishna conscious. Not just by some, you know, trick, but by purity as a force. We had that saying, purity is a force, and preaching is the essence, right? Books are the basis. Some devotees in America at one time, they made a joke, unfortunately. Bucks are the basis, and purity is a farce. Some people think like that. No, you just have to trick everyone. You have to get money. You know, the purpose of Sankirtan is to get money. But that's not the purpose. The purpose is to get ourselves purified by, you know, becoming humble and approaching all kinds of people. Yesterday when I was at the airport, you know, we had to stand in line and nobody gave a damn who I was. And I was thinking, this is really a relief from Mayapur, you know, where I can't walk. Everybody's paying obeisances and everybody's, you know. And then I start to think, well, I must be a really great devotee, you know. Yes, these people are understanding. But you go out in the public and then you understand it, who you are. You know, I look the same, but everybody just bumping, running ahead. You know, I have to bump also or I'll never get in the front. Although sometimes they're nice, you know, that people respect devotees. But it is begging and preaching in any religion is for the monks to become purified, to become humble, tolerant, equal-minded. The Buddhist monks in Japan, very few do this anymore, but they just stand and they ring a bell and they chant their sutras. Some of them take like an hour, one mantra. And then they hold out a begging bowl. So they have a big hat and they hold the bowl up above what they can see. And the hat's kind of, so they can't see how much money people give and they can't see the face of the person. And then that way everybody that gives, they're equal-minded. They don't think, oh, this one gave a lot, this one gave yesterday. Because the idea is not to get money for the temple, because many people come and give big donations to the temple. But the monk will get purified. He'll become equal-minded. He won't be favoring one person. Like Raghunath Goswami, he was begging first outside the Jagannath temple, but then he thought, this is like a prostitute. I'm just thinking, maybe this one will give me something. This one gave me yesterday. This one didn't give me anything. You know, we don't want that. We want to, you know, Krishna is giving. If someone gives, Krishna inspired them. If they don't give, Krishna inspired them, right? So we thank Krishna for whatever comes. And then, so when this holy name enters into the heart, the mind becomes stunned, the senses become inert, and then no jane janita kiyad biramritai krishneti varna dwayi. Everyone understands that? No one knows how much nectar, no jane janita kiyad biramritai, how much amrita, how much nectar is in this Krishna, varna dwayi, these two syllables, Krishna. So when Lord Chaitanya, you know the story, Rupa Goswami, when he was very new, he was writing that. And Lord Chaitanya came and he said, let me see what you're writing. And, no. He was trying to hide it because he was humble. Lord Chaitanya finally grabbed his leaf and when he read that, he was in ecstasy. And then again, they were with all the devotees, Haridas Thakur, Advaita Acharya, Sarvabhauma, everybody. And Lord Chaitanya said, tell him this sloka. No. Finally, he forced him. So when he said that sloka, then all the devotees, they started dancing in ecstasy. They were crying. And they all were saying, we have heard so many slokas glorifying the holy name. Because when Vaishnava, he finds all those slokas. You read the Bhagavatam, you read Bhagavad Gita, you read any Veda, they find all these slokas that glorify the holy name. But they said, we have never heard one like this. This is the best one we've ever heard. And they were amazed at how much mercy Rupa Goswami was getting from Lord Chaitanya. Even though he was new. You know, he's coming from a government service very shortly. Right? Supposed to be a minister for the Muslim king. And all of a sudden, he's the most exalted devotee and getting all this mercy. And then Prabhupada wrote that this was a test, that the devotees were not envious of him. That's a test for a devotee. If we become envious when someone is advancing, we see some devotee getting the mercy. Why is he getting? What did he do? He must have bribed the guru. You know, he tricked Krishna. He's not really a devotee. I heard him do this. I saw when he was a new bhakta, he nodded out in japa. You know, like that Prabhupada, that story, the naked boy in the village. You know, he was just a new bhakta. I was his bhakta leader. How can he get the mercy? I should get it. No, the devotee's not envious. He's happy to see anyone else getting the mercy of Krishna. And he would, if there is some envy, would twist it to think, okay, I want to serve Krishna as nicely as this devotee, so I'll get mercy also. Because we need the mercy, but mercy, endeavor produces mercy, and then we get the mercy, well, that means we get inspired to do more service. That's real mercy. So I can't explain the structure of the universe very much, or Lord Brahma very much. It's quite out of range. But the Sankirtan movement, Lord Brahma is very favorable to the Sankirtan movement, and he came as Haridas Thakur to join it. And so he could become humble. He took a low birth, and he's just always chanting the holy name. But he's, you see the picture of Brahma, he has beads, you know, he's chanting. He's worshiping Krishna all the time. But, you know, he has to manage the universe. And like he benedicted Hiranyakasipu. You know, he's equal to everyone. Anyone does the tapasya, then he has to give the benediction. And when Narada Muni came looking to see who got the most mercy of Krishna, you know, he was directed to Lord Brahma at one point. Brahma said, no, I'm a rascal. You know, after Hiranyakasipu, Krishna told me, don't benedict the demons anymore, you know. But I do it anyway, he said. If the demons do the tapasya, and sometimes the demons, they're more lusty and they're more determined for something, so they do much tapasya more than the demigods. The demigods are thinking everything's all right, you know, we can enjoy, no problem. And they become lazy, but the demons are doing great tapasya. So sometimes they become very powerful. Like now, the demons are very powerful in the world. They work tirelessly. In Nigeria, I was going with my friend there, and he's very popular, so the politicians were trying to utilize him in their service. And he would come back at 4 in the morning. He said, these people, they never sleep. They don't sleep. They just work, and all they care about is themselves. They just, everyone's in it for the money. They never sleep. They never take rest. They never stop thinking how to exploit the population, you know. And that, you know, we become sometimes, and we don't work that hard. Because devotees are happy, they're satisfied. But then we want to get that burning, you know, lust for preaching, for giving Krishna to everyone. In whatever form we can, prasadam, books, holy name, any kind of association, you know, Bhagavad Gita classes, anything, but give Krishna. The more you give, the more you get. Lord Chaitanya broke open the storehouse of love of God. It was hidden away. He broke it open and he distributed it. And what happened? He ran out? Huh? What happened? It increased. The more he gave it out, the more it increased. Right? The more we give out books, the more we get books. Because we follow Prabhupada's program. When you distribute, print more. You get money, you print books. So more and more books are being distributed every day, inconceivable numbers, especially in Bombay and Delhi this year, Moscow. All over the world, unbelievable numbers of books, numbers of people coming to the temples. Radha Krishna Prabhu just told me about this Ujjain. They have something like 3,000 people coming for Bhagavatam class. They just opened the temple like a month, right? But when they first went there, they had a little tiny place, and hundreds of people came this Sunday. The next Sunday, thousands of people came. They're waiting, because that's Sandipani Muni's ashram, so they're into studying, you know. But this is India. It doesn't happen in every country. But People are waiting for us. They're looking. Where have you been? You know, where is Krishna? They, you know, when we go in New York or something and look like a devotee, people come and say, "I thought there was no more Hare Krishna. I haven't seen you guys." Feel bad. You know, we want to get. We want people to see us and go everywhere, and keep in public. You know, then we're very famous. In the 70s, you know, the devotees were very famous all over the world. Because it was new. I saw, you don't know the details, but I saw one ad in a magazine, and it was for this type of boot called fry boots that the hippies in the 60s liked to wear. They were very popular. So the ad, which was in the 80s, it said, "Remember the 60s? And then they had pictures of so many things, you know, the Beatles and all the, you know, and then Jimi Hendrix. Anybody know who that is? Jimi Hendrix? You all know, you're here in college, right? He's still winning the Best Guitar Player Award, even though he's been dead for 30 years. So they had Jimi Hendrix, and then Hari Nam Party. That's how famous the devotees were in the 60s. Right up there with the Beatles and Jimi Hendrix, Janis Joplin, you know, Martin Luther King, John Kennedy. They had all their pictures, so many pictures. And then right in the middle was the devotees in ecstatic Harinam. That's what we want. We want people to remember Krishna, whatever way they can, even if they don't like it, but if they remember, even if they think it's a botheration, they're benefited. That's the power of the Sankirtan movement. The demons, they may not like it, but they start chanting and then they get purified also. One newspaper in Chicago once it wrote, "The Hare Krishnas are cheating people. The Hare Krishnas are bothering people. The Hare Krishnas are blocking the flow of traffic at the airport. The Hare Krishnas are giving people books that nobody can read," just on and on. So the devotees were not very happy with that. And Prabhupada said, "That article is very nice. Whoever they wrote it, whoever reads it will be chanting Hare Krishna so much." He said the effect of the offense will be temporary, but the effect of chanting will be permanent. And we saw that actually. We were distributing books. So for about a week, you know, people were looking at us like, "Oh God, you know, the Hare Krishnas, get away from them." And they were telling people, "Don't buy their book, they're cheaters." But after about a week, people would say, "Oh yeah, Hare Krishna, I read that in the newspaper." Yeah. It was very nice. So, you know, Prabhupada was predicting, and it's right. But we prefer good publicity. We prefer people to say how wonderful Hare Krishna is, how nice everything is. And that's what's happening all over the world. And the Bhagavatam is giving everybody information about everything. So distribute it. Sets in every home in Bombay. Not very expensive. People have so much money, right? So many foreign cars, so many rich people in Bombay live the more opulently than anywhere else. They eat better, they have bigger, you know. Nowhere else will you find a marble house. You know, very, very rare. Maybe Italy, some really rich person. Maybe the very rich people in Nigeria, they import everything from Italy and they build, you know, palaces. But in India, it's common. Big, big marble houses and servants, drivers. You know, who lives like that, right? Even an ordinary guy can have a driver and a cook and a pot washer and everything. In America, to have a servant, you know, you have to be a millionaire. Nobody wants to be a servant, even if you pay them. You have to buy a machine to do everything. Now they're promoting these machines in India also. But then, you know, the rich people have to hire someone to put the dishes into the dishwashing machine, right? They're not going to do it themselves. Then you just waste so much. So we have this special mercy. We have something no one else has. There's no competition for distributing Srimad Bhagavatam. There's no competition for distributing the holy name, you know, for showing people the deities. We have a unique product, and no one else has prasadam either. They have so many people selling food, but not prasadam. That's a big difference. And so here now we're distributing so much, but that can it's going to increase and increase and increase. Then you'll have to be ready for the millions of people that are coming to be devotees after eating prasadam all through school, right? If they eat prasadam every day all through school, then they want to be devotees. Some of them know it's coming from Krishna. So we have to be ready. We have to have many, many, many temples and ashrams to accommodate the rush that's already coming, but more and more. So I'll leave it there. And do we have questions? Or? There's no buzzer on this. I didn't know it. In London, it says, "Dear Maharaja Prabhu, you must stop at such and such time." There's a big sign on the book, Los Angeles also. But when Radhanath Swami comes, they don't make him stop. He never stops. And everybody says, okay, it's all right. At least one day it's all right. Because devotees like to hear about Krishna. We like chanting. We have nothing else to do, actually. So read the books and teach, because by whatever we teach, then we remember something like 80%. You know, that if we teach something, they say teaching is learning, you know. By any time you have to teach, like I never really understood the English language, how crazy it is and how difficult it is. You know, I just spoke it, and then when I was in Japan and I tried to teach people, you know, and they'd say, "It's so hard." What do you mean? It's so easy, you know. Then I started to think about it. It's a completely ridiculous language, you know. When you're reading it, you know, one time it's the same letters, but you have to pronounce it different, has completely different meaning, and, you know, words come from French, and words come from German, and words come from everywhere. But by trying to teach it, then I got some insight to understand it a little better. Bhagavatam also, when we try to teach, whatever we know, teach it. Teach somebody, find somebody, and share. You know, you don't have to be a big professor, and you don't have to give them an examination, you know, afterwards to see if they remembered what you taught them. But share whatever we realize. Everybody realizes something. Share it. Tell somebody, "I love chanting. I like prasadam. You know, this book is wonderful. Please read it." Right? "I like this book." That, like for Sankirtan, if you say that, that people are bewildered. They can't argue. "I don't think you really like it. You're just saying that." Some people will say that. Most people say, "Oh." And they say, "I think you like it also." Okay, try it. Try chanting. You know, try this prasadam. Try something. Okay, any question or comment? What's this, a school group? Just what? Such a large group just came in. Hare Krishna. Welcome. Any question or should we stop? Time for prasad. Tonight might be a long one, right? After a long separation. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Shishi Gaur Purnima ki jai. Shishi Radha Gopinath ki jai. Shri Gopalji ki jai. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna.